to Civil Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Evan. I am an alcoholic. So we're going to kick this thing off with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So the Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, I ask that everyone please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessarily moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on a basis of a few simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. And now I'll read the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask.
Oh, yeah.
There's many ways that could have gone. Engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting. That time it was your fault, guys. No one. After the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening we are on step 10, so we'd like to please welcome our panel this evening. We have Casey and Donald. I'll let them qualify however they wish to do that. And as it's their turn, and I'll just begin with the first excerpt. Is going to be on page 84. So let's see, man. Let me start off by just reading step 10 for you guys. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So this thought brings us back to step 10, which suggests that we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. I'll go ahead and hand it over with that. Casey?
My name's Casey. I'm an alcoholic. Just to qualify myself, my sobriety date is October 22nd, 2012. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. My home group is Downtown Young and Sober. We meet Thursday nights at 8 p.m. at Edward United Methodist Church. It's a great meeting. Young doesn't mean young in age. Young in heart is what we believe in. So I'd love to have you guys out. So I started drinking when I was 15. Immediately, I liked the effect produced by alcohol. It did something for me that nothing else could. All these other things I tried to make myself feel better or get outside of me didn't work until I discovered alcohol. And from there on out, I mean, it was just like I drank. 5 minutes later, I'm looking at getting arrested. That was my first experience with alcohol. I stayed dry for a year, and then I drank again, and I went hard. And I didn't even think about the experience that I had to go through, going to court, hurting my family. You know, I don't think about that stuff. I just did what I wanted to do, and I ended up losing some friendships and not caring. And I woke up wanting to have another drink, and I didn't know why. And I got scared. But after a while, that didn't stop me. I spent probably my whole sophomore summer just drinking to oblivion. And once school started, I thought, okay, drinking's the problem. I'll stop. And by the time I was 17, I got kicked out of my dad's. I looked like a homeless person pretty much because I pretty much let myself go. And then by the time I was 17, that's when my progression of my alcoholism hit. I took a vodka and cranberry. I downed it. And I think when, you know, Bill had his I had arrived moment, that's when I arrived. Because I thought everything was going to be okay if I just had alcohol all the time now. And it was easier and accessible due to my mom not really thinking my drinking was a problem. So to fast forward, I drank for all through high school, almost every night. By the time I was 18, I was drinking, all day through work, after work, all night to just get that ease and comfort. And I moved back to Michigan in 2010, and from there it just kept getting worse until probably I was about 20. I was in my car. I had the shakes. I didn't know what that was or what. It was a new experience for me because I've never had that. You know, I was withdrawing. And I went to treatment, listened to a lot of good treatment stuff, and that's how I got introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I got out of treatment and I relapsed. I told myself I was never going to drink again. I want to do something different, but I can't fix me, and that's what I learned when I first came in here. And after one night, that night of October 21st, I took a sip of beer, and I realized I had to get honest with myself. The first time in my life I had a power of choice to drink or not, and I never had that before that moment. And since then, I haven't picked up a drink. And now getting into this 10-step, this step didn't get incorporated into my life until about a year ago because you know, I got very spiritually sick in the program within my first year. I knew after I got a year of sobriety, this whatever I'm doing isn't working, and I'm expecting this God of my understanding by saying these things in this specific chapter is that I'm not going to do any work and he's going to make me feel better. Well, as a result of that, I got miserable, and you know, I was at the point where I started feeling better, and I thought I could just like tone it down. And I didn't learn from my experience the first time I came around. And so I met a guy that asked me, well, are you doing a 10-step on a daily basis? And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, maybe you should probably do that considering your condition right now. And so he showed me that there's actual actions that I need to take on a daily basis in order to get this daily reprieve. And I've learned, like, you know, alcoholism hits me in various different forms today. And it's usually selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And when those crop up, it matters what I do about it, because if I just live in that stuff, the more I continue to be involved with me and do what I want to do and not take care of this stuff, you know, I will drink again. You know, I did that my whole life. All that stuff would crop up in my life and I'd go right to booze. And for me, it took getting desperate in this program to continue to do this 10-step on a daily basis. Because I believe for me, you know, I take, you know, it was pointed out to me 5 actions that I need to take, and I highlighted love and tolerance of others as our code because, you know, this program gave me a life, and I'm learning, still learning how to deal with people that I don't really want to deal with on a daily basis. And I mean, it's really like I'm relying upon this God today instead of me. And usually when I take these actions, whatever happens, happens, and I can be okay with it. And then I'm more willing to be helpful to someone that I really don't want to be helpful to, or a situation that crops up in my life. And I'm just like, what do I do? And I mean, especially making amends, I didn't like doing that. I didn't like looking at myself on a daily basis. But I've learned today that it is very vital, because, you know, just going through the steps, I made amends to people that I've harmed. And even today, you know, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. You know, every day, like I said, self crops up on a daily basis in those forms. And I would like to tell you I have done this perfect, and but I've done some stupid things, even in sobriety. I've hurt people in sobriety. I made really bad financial decisions in sobriety. And it was all based on those four things. And when I really look at it, and most of the stuff that was really eating at me, I put pen to paper and I looked at where my part was in all of it. And surprisingly, I did another... I went through the steps again, and I went through an inventory and did my first 10 step in a long time. And I realized there were so many more people that I hurt and I needed to make amends to. And it's funny that, you know, I'm taking a guy through the book right now, and he's on his fourth and fifth step. And I went to look back at my fourth and fifth step, because I don't know, these people were in my mind. I'm like, where is this coming from? And I looked at, you know, especially with relationships today, like, there's certain things I want in a relationship, and I look back at, you know, my inventory, my sex ideals, and what I want, and I'm like, I'm nowhere hitting that mark right now, you know. So it was good to go back and look at those prior inventories. But, you know, I mean, for me, you know, for that love and tolerance of others is our code, because by default nature, I wake up in me. I don't wake up spiritually sane. I don't want to go to work. I really don't. I mean, it's just like I didn't get that. I had a spiritual awakening, but like that really, that daily reprieve. So I'm aware of it today, and I can wake up and talk to this God and ask him to remove this stuff that's going to, you know, block me off from being of service, or just to do my job, or just go throughout my day with some peace. But, you know, when I do this stuff, I see the results, because I'm not thinking about the fear, the dishonesty, or the selfishness or self-centeredness, because I'm taking the action to make those amends and seeing what I can do right. And then when I turn my thoughts to helping somebody else, I'm not thinking about me anymore. So what's really the big deal? You know, because I want to make myself out to be this great guy and my life so important. Well, my thinking got me into Alcoholics Anonymous, and how important I was doesn't matter today. I've learned to try to stay anonymous in all my affairs, because I didn't realize when I came in here I had a pretty big ego, and I was like, wow, I didn't even know what that word meant. And when I found that out, you know, it was huge, because, you know, and that's really key for me, is those actions, because I can pray and pray and pray and ask God to remove all sorts of things from me, but he's going to remove them as he sees them fit. And if I take the action, I definitely see them getting removed, but I have to continue to do it. You know, I like how it says it's not an overnight matter, because, man, I want things to just happen. You know, but I've learned in my life, like, I was talking to a friend of mine, and things weren't going my way one day, and, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, the direction of my life's going, where it's going, and how it should go, and then I, like, talked to him, and he's like, you know, I've learned, man, no matter what I did, I always have to work for everything that I do. I have to keep pushing and pushing until it happens, because it's like, you know, and I'm not saying like I have to fight it, but it's like when I came in here, I'm a hopeless alcoholic. I was desperate for help, and you know, for me today, like, it's rigorous work and honesty with me, because I can easily lie to myself 5 minutes later after I just told somebody the truth. So I mean, really, that when I'm asking God to remove this stuff and I'm discussing it with somebody, it's usually my sponsor or another guy that's gone through the steps. And, you know, making amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. You know, I would say that part of my life is kind of relaxed, because I'm not really looking to, like, harm people. But in my head, I want to tear you to shreds with words. And all that's ever done for me is, like, I when I first started incorporating the step in, I was actually looking at almost a 6-day suspension from my job, and I actually got suspended. And my sponsor told me, you're going to go in there, not say anything, and make amends to these people because you're doing what you want to do and it's not working, and you obviously can see that. And, you know, I took it. I went home. I thought about it. I realized how wrong I was. I came back and made amends. And 2 days later, I quit my job. That's what I do. And after that, I really realized how these 10-step actions I really need to take, because I was unemployed for a little while, but I kept taking these actions and showing up for AA even when I didn't want to and staying in that fear. And then I kept asking God to remove it, and I just kept doing AA. And then the next thing I know, I took the action and I got a job, you know, and that's all a result of my sponsor showing me this vital step, because I took the steps with a guy through Skype. I'm not perfect. You know, we didn't really talk about the 10th step, but after talking with my sponsor and hearing his story and him showing me just this simple paragraph of actions that I need to take, because in my head I'm like, oh, continue to take personal inventory. I'm going to basically go to bed, ask God to forgive me for doing all these things that I wanted to do today, and wake up and say some prayers and high-five God out the door and run my life again. And, you know, for me, it's really a lot of pain that I need to be in, you know, and that's what it took to really, really do this step in my life. And it's very vital for me. If I stay in me long enough, I definitely cause some damage and become unwilling. And, you know, and that's what happened, is like I was getting ready to take a drink again, and, you know, God put somebody in my life to redirect me back to the solution. That's all I have.
Thank you, Casey. Excuse me. I'm Donald Smith, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is October 17th, 1994. My home group is the West Ghent Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. We meet on Wednesday nights. We have a book study in one room and a discussion meeting in another. And we're having our anniversary meeting coming up 2 days from now. So, which I'll announce later after the meeting. I won't go too much into the qualification part. I think most people have heard me ad nauseum talk about it. It's not nice to laugh at somebody. But I don't blame you at all. I did start drinking when I was 14. I didn't quit till I was 39. During that time, the last 9 years, I drank every day. Every single day, and it went from, well, every single night, to be accurate, and then it went to afternoon and night, and then it went to morning, afternoon, and night, and I did that for a long time. 9 straight years, I lived out in St. Louis. I had been in the treatment center and got exposed to AA when I was 30 years old, and I just said, these are all crazy people. What is this God stuff? I'm not doing God. God's for weak people. I'm not weak. And I'll just be a better person, because in my mind, alcoholism is about drinking. It's not about anything else. It's not about being insane. It's not about having a mental illness. It's about I just drink too much and I cause everybody trouble. I know. But I mean, take the alcohol out of me, I'm going to be just fine. That's the way I am. So that didn't work out very well. 9 years later, I had nothing. I'm living in a little efficiency apartment off of Little Creek Road around Divin Street. I can't pay my own bills. My daddy is paying my electric and gas bill. I'm working at a minimum wage job. Some of you may remember Trax Records and Tapes up at Ward's Corner. I worked there. When I showed up, I worked there. They would stick me in the back sometimes because I stunk so bad. But, you know, like most people, like most alcoholics I know, we're kind of nice people and we work hard when we're there, and we're somewhat conscientious. although we're, although like if you're like me, I'm filled with fear and frustration, and I'm afraid someone's going to find out what I'm doing, you know, all that stuff. I didn't have a driver's license. I was walking and taking a bus. I'm 39 years old. I'm, you know, come on. But that was my life, you know. I went to college. I didn't bother to do any, to learn anything in college except philosophy. You know, and then one night I was watching Gunsmoke, and they were trying to teach Festus how to read, and they said, and the doc says, and Festus looks at Doc and says, "Well, Doc, how do you know that the feller that's writing the writing's writing the writing right?" And I said, "Well, that's philosophy." You know, everybody's arguing how the writing is writing. So anyway, so I came here to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was drunk as a skunk. A woman picked me up and brought me to someone's house on a Sunday afternoon with about, I don't know how many people were in the room. I can't remember. I was so drunk. But for some reason, I woke up on Monday morning, something had changed in me, and I started going to AA meetings. She came and picked me up, took me down a little door over on off Old Ocean View at Ninth Bay. Then on Tuesday night, I went to Roosevelt Gardens, and then I went to West Ghent, which is, became my home group, which has been my home group since I've been sober, with the exception of about a year and 2-3 months. I went over to Larchmont 12 and 12, but I can't stand at 12 and 12, so I had to leave. And that's no, thank you very much over there. That's no offense to people that like the 12 and 12, but I don't, I'll tell you about it in a little while. You know, I got sober there, and I got sober over the first 5 years, and everything seemed to be going okay, and the 12 and 12 tells me how I'm thinking and tells me some things about who I am, and it's basic, I think it's kind of basic psychology kind of stuff. But the program of recovery, for a spiritual program for recovery, is found in the first 164 pages of the Big Book. And I didn't really get sober. I didn't really have the kind of spiritual awakening that I needed for me until I started reading the book with somebody that knew what was in the book. And when I did that, I was 5 years sober, and it completely changed my life. The way I thought about things, the way I looked at things, in Alcoholics Anonymous, and in my life in general. There were lots of things I didn't understand in AA the first 5 years, and I still a lot of stuff I don't understand now. But that's basically with people. So that's a little bit of me. We're not supposed to get too much into that. So let's talk about step 10. Okay. It says, this thought brings us to step 10. What thought is that? Well, it's the one up top. It's the one just above it in the ninth step. Those ninth step promises that everybody reads in AA meetings. And you've ever been in a meeting and heard someone who's about 6 months sober go, the promises are coming true. Yeah, right. You know, the pink cloud's coming true. The promises aren't even there yet. You know, it's my mind thinking that. I don't say it because I practice tolerance and love. I'm sorry, I read ahead. So anyway, it says we continue to take personal inventory. I mean, yeah, we continue to take personal inventory. And when I'm wrong, let me try it again. I always read this. The other thing I learned how to do when I first did this was I turned all the plural pronouns into single pronouns so that I can make it personal to me. So I would read it, I continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as I go along. And that is a wonderful statement to make for a variety of reasons. Number one, it tells me that all that horrible stuff that I thought I was going to leave behind the first time I did my inventory and had to read it to somebody, I get to do it for a long time now. See, I heard step 10 was more, step 1 and 2 have me consider what it means to be alcoholic and what it means to be sober. And then step 3 is also just a consideration until I get to the third step prayer. Then I take an action and say the prayer. But up until that point, I'm not doing anything, really. So 4, 5, 6, and 7 are all the action steps. And then, seven, eight, and nine as well are all action steps. Step 10 is a consideration. This is about to tell me what I'm going to do in step 11. Step 11 gives me all the daily information I need about what I should be doing on a daily basis to stay sober. And that includes the inventories in there too, as you probably know, at the very top of that page, 86, which you're not supposed to read ahead. So, in any event, the other thing it tells me is that I'm gonna make mistakes. It says I have new mistakes. I'm not going to have to deal with the old ones. It's the new ones. Oh my God! You know, when I got here, I kind of thought that if I did this, I was going to be, you know, emancipated from who I am, and I'm going to be a nice guy, and things are going to go right, and I'm going to be and I don't have to make any mistakes anymore. Well, that's not true, and it's not. You know, the thing about AA is that it's a practical program of action. It tells me practically what my life's going to be looking like and what's going to happen. And so generally speaking, I'm going to make new mistakes as I go along. That's a wonderful thing to know, actually. And then it says, I vigorously commenced this way of living as I cleaned up the past. So that tells me that I'm doing step 10 and 11 while I'm doing my ninth step amends. So I was taught that because I can't get to all of them immediately, particularly a guy like me. They're all over this place. They've got a list a mile long. I can't get to them all. So I just can't stop and do 9 and not do 10 and 11. So this tells me I do 10 and 11 while I'm doing 10, 11, and 12 while I'm doing my amends as well. Then it guarantees me, it says, I have entered the world of the Spirit. Now, what the hell does that mean? You know, I've entered the world of the Spirit. I didn't know, and sometimes I still don't know. But it really means that I am practicing spiritual principles in my life to deal with my problems. The book says way back here, this is my favorite line of all time. It often gets misquoted. And if I can find it real fast, I will. I'm too far up. It says, I think it's in We Agnostics, where it says, maybe not. Maybe it's on that's Bill's story. Hang on a minute, I'll find it for you. Because it's really important. That's it, man. Oops, that out. All right. Anyway, what it says, I can't find the title here. So anyway, what it says is that quite interesting is that we've discovered that spiritual principles will solve all of our problems. It doesn't say God's going to solve all my problems. It says spiritual principles are going to do that. And that means that's what I get to do. I apply in my life those spiritual principles. God's there, you know, to help all the other stuff. But I have things I have to do. So I have to apply the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous in my life. And when I do that, I enter the world of the Spirit. I don't have to worry about a whole lot of different stuff. And this says my next function is grow in understanding and effectiveness. So understanding of what? You know, ask yourself a question. You know, that's another thing I was taught. Turn statements into questions. So my next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Understanding of what and effectiveness of what? Well, for me, that would mean understanding what the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is, how I can, and then my effectiveness is how I can better communicate that message to other people and be of service to the world around me and God. And that's what I've had to learn how to do. And it's not an overnight matter. So I'm not going to reach nirvana tomorrow. You know, I'm not going to go someplace and be there and be sitting there with my, you know, whatever I thought I was going to be doing. And I had a lot of thoughts about what I was going to be doing. But it says, I continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And I was taught that those things are manifestations of the alcoholic self. That's what happens to me when I'm in untreated alcoholism. And that's important to know because this tells me that I'm out of the world of the Spirit when I'm in this spot. And it says, when these crop up, I ask God at once to remove them. And what am I asking God to remove? Not the defects of character. I'm asking God to remove alcoholism, which is what I was doing before at six and step six and seven. So I'm asking God to remove the manifestations of my alcoholic nature, which is selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And then I'm to discuss them immediately with my sponsor. If they come up, I got to talk to them and say, hey, listen, I got this going on in my life. What the hell? I need, you know, we talk. So we go through those things. Sometimes you write them down. Early on, I think probably for 15 years, I was always writing inventory. I still write inventory, but I was writing nightly inventory a lot. A whole lot. So I'd had something to talk to my sponsor about when I needed to talk to him. I knew exactly, you know, I think God wants me to know what I'm supposed to be doing so I can ask specifically what to do and ask God specifically to remove those defects that I have. So I discuss them immediately with someone and then I make amends quickly if I harmed anyone. I had a sponsor once who told me, I said, I don't want to have to, I got to be nice to people because I don't want to have to go do my 10th step amends. And he goes, wait a minute. He says, where's that in the 10th step? And I said, well, he goes, tell me what this 10th step says. So we read the 10th step together. It was read tonight. Continue to take personal inventory, and when I'm wrong, I promptly admit it. Where does that say I have to make amends? It doesn't. Not everything I do, I have to make amends for. Not every mistake I have to make, I do, I have to make amends for. So I have to talk to a sponsor about those things first, and then if an amends is necessary, then I do it. And I had a lot of that going on. I had to talk to him a lot, and I had to make a lot of amends. Man, I screwed over to Home Depot one day. Jeez. I was, and let me tell you something. I was 10 years sober. I was in service. I think it was a DCM, or I was the intergroup. No, I was the PI committee chair for the state. I'd been the DCM, GSR, all this stuff. I had people I was sponsoring. I had a home group doing all this crazy stuff. And I walked into Home Depot and walked out with $95 of their dollars. Due to a mistake by a cashier that I was not honest about. I said, I'm getting over on the man. So I grabbed my stuff and walked out the door. And let me just say this. As an alcoholic, I walk into it. I don't even know I'm there. It just happened. So this stuff gives me an opportunity to clean that kind of stuff up, which is what I ended up doing. Then it says, oops, I'm in the wrong place. Then it says, this is my favorite line. Love and tolerance of others is my code. I heard someone say this. I'll steal it. He says, thank God they put tolerance in there because I am not a person that can love everybody. That's just the way it is. And if I don't, and again, this is the practical part of AA. If I'm going to love it, I can't love everybody. I'm just a human being, not everybody that I love, but I can be tolerant of them. I can understand who I am and let them be whoever the hell they are. And that's what I try to learn how to do. I was told a long time ago, you know, here's my thing, I'll be quiet on this one. You know, I am horrible, more or less, about making judgments about people because I do it all the time. I do it at work. I do it wherever I go. I make a judgment about the person I'm talking to. But I never hold it against you. I do it because it's a natural thing and I got to know who I'm talking to in terms of what I relate to. But I don't, that judgment is not something that gets to follow you around for the rest of your life. I'm free of all that stuff. That is a prejudice of the moment. And I particularly don't do it to alcoholics, and I mostly don't do it also to people that I meet who are non-alcoholic. So I make judgments about people all the time. I don't think you can go through your life and not make judgments. You come to AA, for example, and they say, stick with the winners. Well, that would imply what? There's losers here. Right? And Dono raises his hand. But seriously, you got to know who the people are. You got to. That's a judgment you have to make. You know, you got to ask for God's direction and help, and you got to be tolerant of all people and as loving as you can be. But for crying out loud, you just can't walk around with your head up your butt. But AA told me that, gave me a practical program of how to do things. And if I'm ever wrong and have harmed someone because of a judgment that I made, I have a thing that I can do to fix that problem. And it's that simple. It's so simple that I'm just blows my mind that, you know, I had to like go through 25 years of extreme alcoholism to learn how to be a tolerant, normal human being towards people. So, thank you.
Thank you, fellas. We're going to continue on page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not even exist for us. We are neither cocky nor afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react as long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Casey?
All right, Casey's still alcoholic. So this was shown to me as these are the 10-step promises if I continue to take these actions. And I can tell you that, you know, for the longest time, even being in the program, thinking I was doing this stuff, I wondered every day. I remember reading this 10-step unsupervised, and I was throwing up all these prayers and. And I still wondered why. I just wanted to punch everybody in the face at my job. And at this time, I made a little bit of amends, and I started to feel good. And, I was starting getting scared of drinking because there was alcohol in the house that I was living in, and I couldn't be around it. I always had to go away or hide in my room. And for me today, every day I get a chance to cease fighting everything, everyone, including alcohol, because, I mean, if I continue to fight, I'm going to lose. I lost that with alcohol. I lose that with people because I don't realize that I'm wrong. When it comes to alcohol kicked my butt for 5 years. And when I came in here, finding out that I can't drink like a normal person, you know, I'm an alcoholic. I have a physical allergy and a mental obsession. That's when I knew, like, really finding out what the problem was so I could apply this solution to it. And, for me today, like I said, there's a lot of pain that I need to be in. And I've learned that, you know, my pain tolerance of continuing to do these 10-step actions and reading these promises is, like, my pain tolerance today compared to when I came in is very small. Like, I'll get, as my sponsor, quote unquote, says, butt hurt. And I get that feeling and I'm like, something needs to change because I can't stand this. You know, and that little bit of pain is a lot of motivation for me. And what happens is that whatever situation I'm in, and especially dealing with anybody that's drinking or drunk, it's like that doesn't really happen in my life because I don't place myself into those positions like I used to. But I just can't fight today. It's too much work, honestly. Like, I'll stand it for 5 minutes and think I can go for six, but I'm like, all right, God, what do I do? Because this working on me is not doing anything. You know, I'm gonna fail at this situation pretty horribly. And my experience is that I can choose to fight today, or I can choose to do this stuff, and as a result, it works. You know, I haven't thought about alcohol in a long time. And that's the result of these 10-step promises if I take these actions. And, you know, alcohol randomly will come through my mind and I'm just like get a healthy reminder afterwards what it was like. And I think that's the cool thing about it is, you know, because I found out alcohol is not my problem. It's just a symptom. My real problem is centers in my mind. You know, it's me. You know, because, you know, like it was explained to me, you know, I'm not even trying to battle alcohol. Every day I'm battling me. You know, because I still every day self crops up. I want to do what I want to do, and I want things to happen snappy. I want it now, and it just doesn't happen like that. And so fighting doesn't work for me, even though I want to continue to try it. You know, I'm a good alcoholic, so I learn from my experience. And it says, for by this time, sanity will have returned. See, I didn't really get that when I came in, because I thought just because I'm not drinking, sanity's going to return because I took that second step. But really, sanity returned when I continued to take this 10th step into my life. You know, I was absolutely can't use that word in here, out of respect. You know, I was crazy, you know, when I came in and throughout my sobriety until about a year ago. There was not a lot of sanity going on. I was working two jobs, staying up all night, just not drinking. You know, I was all over the place. And my thinking really wasn't that clear because I had to be, like I said, redirected back to the solution and go through a book. The book with a sponsor who continues to do this stuff. Because at the time, my sponsor didn't feel like he didn't really need AA anymore. So sanity has returned if I continue to do this stuff, but I can become insane if I don't continue to do these 10-step stuff. And we will be seldom be interested in liquor. I don't know. Like, it takes for me to go down to the oceanfront one night just hanging out with friends and seeing how many people are just about to get arrested to make me be very seldom interested in liquor. You know, and I've had to deal with also situations of people close to me drinking. And, you know, I got hurt by them because I'm like, why are you telling me this stuff? Why are you doing this to me? And the result of that is, and I would talk to my sponsor about it, and, you know, they're sick. You know, I'm supposed to treat them like sick people. They don't just stop drinking because I stopped drinking, you know. And, you know, there came a time in my sobriety when I was very untreated where I was with my soon-to-be stepmom, and she was mad at my dad, and we went down to Sandbridge, and she tried to get me to take shots with her, and I'm like, I can't do that. You know, and that was crazy for me because I realized, like, I really haven't been going to meetings. But what I continue to do is pray and rely upon this higher power no matter what. And, you know, that interest in liquor today, really, like, I've had it enough in my life. I have my experience drinking, and it's not something that I really am interested in anymore. It really just doesn't, you know, it's pretty much says it right there, seldom interested. That's pretty much how I feel now. And if tempted, we recoil from it as it was from a hot flame. You know, drinking's crossed my mind. A cold beer after a long, hard day. I'm a roofer, so, and being an alcoholic, that's a lot of talk that goes on within my peers and employees. So it crosses my mind, but I don't take the action today. I recognize it for what it is, and it doesn't. I don't go off to the races and go back to drinking. And that's as a result of, you know, that relationship with God. And then I'll talk to somebody about it, and they're like, yeah, it happens to me too. You know, I'm like, oh, not unique. Cool. I need to be reminded of that. And we react sanely and normally, and we will find that it has happened automatically. You know, my nature today, as I continue to apply this stuff in my life, like I said, I don't really place myself in a position around drinking. Like, I've ended up at bars and places where people are drinking, and I'm just like, doesn't even faze me most of the time, because I'm like either thinking about myself or I'm talking to someone in AA. Like, I don't know, that just has been my experience. And then even you know, if I look at it for what it is today, like that problem's been removed. You know, that's crazy because I never thought that my obsession to drink would be removed until I came in here. You know, because I constantly thought about it and I couldn't turn that stuff off even if I tried. You know, relying on self once again, thinking it's going to fix me, but I can't fix me. And it's, let's see, we see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us, okay, without effort on our part, it just comes. Really, it just kind of comes. I just show up for life and throw up some prayers and take action, and, you know, it really does just come, and that is a miracle of it, you know, because, like I said, I'm an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. And when it came to drinking, I mean, I drank hard, and every day when I wasn't drinking, I was thinking about it. And now today, I don't think about it at all, and still, to me, that's crazy, you know, because I forget what it was like sometimes when my life's going good, or, you know, I'm just kind of just thinking about me and all these cool things that I'm doing. When, you know, a situation will happen in my life, especially when I think back to drinking or being around people that are drinking around me, like my folks drink, and I go over there every Sunday and see them, and I see these big bottles of some type of Swedish vodka and all that cool stuff that looks appealing, but I look at it and I'm like, wow, that's just a lot of alcohol. I'm glad I'm only here for dinner sometimes, and that's it. But they're not alcoholics, and, you know, I've tried to explain what alcoholism is. They're like, good, I'm glad you're going to meetings. That's cool. You know, but the cool thing about it is... Oh, okay. You want me to stop?
Well, just...
Oh, okay.
Cut that part.
Okay. So, to sum up these promises, you know, like they explain, this is our experience. That is how we react. As long as we keep in fit spiritual condition, the more I stay spiritually fit, these promises continue to come true. And that's by the actions that I take today. That's all I got.
Cool. Sorry
yeah.
about that.
No, it's all good.
He's trying to be smooth.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Think about myself.
Don't have a lot of time. I'll do this as quick as I can, which is you'll be surprised, believe me. Everything that Casey just talked about was absolutely correct. I mean, that's kind of the way I was when I'm drinking, when I first get here after I'm drinking. But what happens when I've been here 10 years, 15 years, I'm reading this book and I can't seem to get damn thing out of it or whatever's going on in my mind? You know, so I learned to do this, you know. The book says that the problem centers in my mind. When I do the third step prayer, I ask God to relieve me of the bondage of self. What self are we talking about? The alcoholic self. That thing in my mind that makes me want to go drink, that causes me, after a long period of sobriety, to believe that I can, that this time it'll be different, or I'm qualified now to drink. So, then reading ahead, if you go on to the end of working with others, it says that bottles are only symbols. We have to stop fighting anyone or anything. So having said all that, read this with me. And what I'm going to replace the word liquor for self. And you hear alcoholic self when we say self. That's self that gets me drunk. And it says, I have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even myself. For by this time, sanity will have returned. I will seldom be interested in self. If tempted, I recoil from it as from a hot flame. I react sanely and normally, and I find that this has happened automatically. I will see that my new attitude towards myself has been given me without any thought or effort on my part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. I am not fighting it, neither am I avoiding temptation. I can be who I am, right? I can be who God made me. I feel as though I have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. I have not even sworn off myself. Instead, the problem, self, has been removed. It does not exist for me. I am neither cocky nor am I afraid, which would be what? Examples of self, right? That is my experience, and that is how I react so long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. And when I read it that way, I was like, this gives me the key to the way I need to act in my life and what's going on in my life when I'm not in, when the gyroscope internal is off a little bit. I know what it is, and this helps me remember that. And these are the promises that I get for relief from the thing that has plagued me my entire life. Since I can remember, I've been restless, irritable, discontent. I mean, it has been horrible at times unless I start drinking. So this stuff here is what happens to me when I get sober. That thing that keeps me drinking is removed. That's what God removed for me, and hopefully for you too. And that's all for now. Oh, and yeah, that page I was trying to find is on 42.
So you all have homework now. We'll look at 42.
At the bottom of the page.
So the last excerpt, I'll just read it real quick, and then we'll go ahead and continue closing out the meeting. It's going to be on page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. So I love that. It tells me that I don't have to stop thinking, that God's not going to just move me like a puppet off of my couch. So let's see here. So we're going to go ahead and pass around the baskets. If I can, Luigi is helping me out with that. Thank you. In the self-support card, the seven traditions states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seven tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remains self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, which is to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contributions is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. And so at this point, I'd just like to open the floor for any AA-related announcements only, please. Yeah, in the back.
Ralph, I'm Holly.
Hey, Ralph.
The Blueberry Group is having their 13th annual picnic on September 24th at Woodstock Park, that's in Providence, and Avalon Avenue. From 10 to 4, it's a good time. Family oriented, bring your family, bring your pets, pet friendly, and you can do it if you wish. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yeah, over in the back and left.
I'm Pete, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Pete.
If y'all find yourselves over in Newport News Yorktown area, August 22nd, Shoulder to Shoulder Group is having their seventh anniversary, six or seven. Anyways, starts at 5:30 in the evening. It's going to be chicken and like some potato salad and stuff. And then a speaker after dinner, Dave C. from Raleigh, North Carolina, is going to be speaking. And then after the speaker, it's going to be Sober Wars, starring Alfred and Iran. Yeah. And then after Sober Wars, it will be dancing DJ by her. So, until midnight, come on out.
Thank you. There are other,
yeah, there are other.
There are a few other members in this room that are in Sober Wars as well.
right here. I'm John Alcoholic.
Hey, John.
If you find yourself over in Peninsula, which is not hard to do, just break a tunnel. On a Saturday afternoon, August 29th, Santa Clara Park, just off of Hampton Road, Santa Park Road. It'll be a joint picnic. I'm not going to say joint in that way, but joint picnic. between 8 and District 8 and District 12, and there'll be plenty of food, plenty of fun, plenty of raffles, plenty of God knows what, and farm fresh fried chicken, too.
Awesome.
If that don't get you, I don't know what will.
Thank you. Was there another? Donald?
Donald seems like a hawk. West Ghent is having its annual 35th year anniversary meeting on Wednesday, the 29th of July. We will be serving dinner. If you can, bring a dessert or a salad, but you don't have to bring it. Bring yourself. We do want you to come. We start serving dinner at 6:30. The meeting will start at 8, and we have a speaker from named Buster H. He's from the Friday night Suffolk discussion group. So please come join us this coming Wednesday. Thank you.
Yeah. Buster's a great, great speaker. Also, this group, on the 24th of August, we are doing a supper and a speaker as we finish up these 12 steps with you guys, our AA community. And on that date, at 6 p.m., we too are doing a potluck. You can bring a dish if you wish. At 7 p.m., we're having a speaker, Bobby from Matthews, Virginia. We have plenty of blue flyers. Please bring them with you and spread them around. Invite some new people. Also, last week, there was a large print big book left here somewhere, and we have it up here if you need to claim that or know whose it is. Are there any other announcements? All right. So Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, raise your hands, please. Thank you. And if I can have two more home group members help out with phone watch after this meeting, that would be great. Newcomers, obviously we want to pay a little attention to the newcomer. If there's anybody here in your first 30 days, we'd love to just welcome you by your first name only. If you'd like to just raise your hand. Yeah.
I'm Amy. I'm an alcoholic.
Amy, welcome. Anybody else in their first 30 days? All right, man. Invite your friends, Amy. We want some newcomers in here. So we have literature available on the literature table. There are newcomer packets available, which has all kind of wonderful stuff. There are other groups, invites to their special events up there as well if you want to take a look. We have a recording, simpleactions.org. We record all our meetings, and there's a sign-up list if you want to be on our mailing roster to mail out any of our special events as well. The big books are the only literature we carry for sale. Please see one of us for those after the meeting. And then sponsorship question. Here at this group, we are doing a sponsorship representative, both a man and a woman. This month, it is myself and Catherine who will be up here, and we'll answer any sponsorship questions you may have. This home group thinks that sponsorship is pretty important. So if you're shy to walk up to somebody else, you can ask us up at the front of the meeting. A few reminders, smokers, please use the butt cans. Keep your cigarettes away from the church doors as other groups are using this facility. And in closing, let's please thank our panel tonight. And also thanks for all of those who participated tonight. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the steps discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting. I'll be there, man. I'll eat some tacos with you. It's at Plaza del Sol, and we always have a good time. You don't even have to eat if you're full. And can we have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164? Catherine?
I'm Harmony.
Oh, Harmony.
Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of your past.
Thank you, Harvey. And here we close with the Lord's Prayer.
The rubber man. Referred to as rubber man.
All right. Who keeps us sober?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,